Okay, we're back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. On the line with us this morning to talk about some of the events in this business over the last 7 days, Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. Kemp's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. And Kemp, how you doing?
Great. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning to you. Lots of things on my list today, and the first one I wanted to bring up was something that we both attended. It was by Faust, and they rolled out their new product intros for the fall, and ones that people will be seeing at surfaces, and gave us a little plant tour and showed us some of the updates at the plant. And this is an outfit with a plan. Don't you agree?
No, I definitely would agree. That was a very interesting meeting. I mean, there's a lot going on in Faust. You know, for those that aren't in the local area, you know, Faust is a company that basically, I guess about 2 years ago, moved into the old outboard marine or the Johnson and Evinrude plant and converted it into a laminate plant in Calhoun, Georgia, right there on the interstate. And they have a lot to talk about. I mean, actually, they, you know, from 2 years ago, they, when they were producing 50 million is that square feet, now
square feet,
their capacity's doubled that. They've got capacity for 100 million square feet. So, and they took us through their new product launch, not only told us what was going on in the fall, which we can get going into some detail on, but also showed us what they were going to introduce at surfaces next year. And I'm telling you, it is incredible looking stuff.
Well, it's if you just think, it wasn't so many years ago that they had a small office in the Dalton area,
yeah,
and a handful of people, and now they've grown dramatically, and they were at that point primarily a supplier, private label supplier.
Right.
And now they have their own line, and they got this huge plant. They're doubling the capacity of it, and they're launching, I think, this year they've launched 17 new SKUs, and they're going to launch 18 more next year. They really have filled out their product line in a major way.
That's right, and you know, it's pretty smart the way they position it. You know, that we always hear about a good, better, best system, and they've even, you know, taken that one step further. They've got entry level, and then good, better, best, and premium. And you know, their entry level, and when you start thinking about the laminate market, their entry level starts where a lot of companies end up. So they're definitely, from a price point standpoint, on the upper end of the business.
That's true, and you know, they also have a facility in Shanghai.
Yes.
And this facility, which primarily manufactures product for both the U.S. or North America, I should say, and Europe, allows them to put some of the extra bells and whistles on product and still keep it at a marketable price.
And the product made in Shanghai is just their entry level.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. With a lot of bells and whistles, more so than you'll find in other parts of the high end market. You know, it's kind of interesting. And we had Juan Flores on a month or two ago, and he talked about some of these things. I think it was a month or two ago, and I asked him about the market share. What's the company's market share? He said, "Well, we have about a 5% share of the laminate market, but we have about an 85% share of the high end of the laminate market." I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I asked him in that meeting last week when we got together. I said, that Shanghai plant, you know, where's the product sold? And he said, well, I was thinking he was going to say some of it was sold in China, but actually 100% of it is exported, mm-hmm. 80% of it comes here to this country, and 20% is going over to Europe.
That's right.
And, you know, that was a smart move for them to come here, especially now that we look at what's going on with the euro versus the dollar, because they're at an advantage versus any other company who's attempting to do business here in the United States from Europe.
That's exactly right. And, you know, they've covered a lot of ground in a relatively short time, and they really sort of redefined the high end of the laminate business.
They have. I mean, you almost have to bend over and touch it because, you know, when you look at the flooring, they've got, they kind of go deep in two different directions. They have a laminate product or a series of laminate products that look like stone or tile, and then they have a series of products that look like wood. And I mean, it is so realistic, you know, especially when you're standing up, but even when you get down close, it's very realistic looking.
And every year it's more difficult.
Yes.
Let's take a break here, Kemp.
All right.
And I'm going to come back into some other things that are very unique that, that Faust has done that, that I want to bring up. This morning, Kemp Haar is with us, a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Okay, we're back. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're talking about some of the events that have happened in this business over the last week. We're talking about a trip we both took to Faust Floor in at their facility in Calhoun, Georgia, where they rolled out their new the new products, which will be seen at surfaces. I think they said they rolled out, as I mentioned earlier, 16 new SKUs this year. They're going to run. They're going to launch 17 next year, and as you mentioned, they've got sort of a unique way to do this. Really, as you mentioned in the earlier segment, improving on the good, better, best. They've got entry, good, better, best, premium,
right.
And some of the products that they launched. There's one that's a painted concrete line, which I thought was breathtaking.
Yeah, let me just tell you what it reminded me of. I don't know. You know, those that are really intensely involved in this business can remember maybe 3 or 4 years ago when a Spanish tile company called Tau, T-A-U, came out with a large format, almost, it looked like tinted concrete, but it had almost an opalescent coloration in it. It's depending on which way you looked at it, it gave off a little bit variation in shading. And I mean, they have duplicated that look. In a laminate product, and it's in a large format too. They've not only is it the same look as that you'd get with the Tau product, but it's a laminate product, and it's in a large format. So that plus the other product, another one of the products they showed us in the wood line, was a parquet, very similar.
That was great. That, in fact, that was my absolute favorite.
Yeah, and it's very similar to a product that BR-111 is. It's not. While this is a laminate, BR-111 selling a solid wood product. It's very similar to their Monticello product. So you can tell they have gone out and looked and see what is really striking in the business, and then they're able to digitally reproduce it, onto paper, and put it in their locking system, and it's just a great looking floor.
And they do that themselves. They don't go out and buy photos that somebody else did. They do them themselves. They scan them.
That's right. That's their own. The picture surface actually comes from their Spanish plant. It's the only thing left, I think, that they don't do here in this country. But that is part of what makes them who they are is their ability to reproduce these gorgeous looking floors.
Another thing that I thought was quite unique is, and you mentioned they go out and find what's hot and reproduce that. They also go out and find things that really could never be made into floor coverings and make a wood floor out of, say, something like, one of them they had is a new product called Pear Tree.
That's right.
And another was called Spanish Olive.
Yeah, they have olive, pear, Spanish walnut, and all those you really couldn't do. They wouldn't be hard enough, and there wouldn't be enough supply.
Exactly, and just wouldn't lend itself to making floor coverings, but they're unique looks that you really couldn't find in wood, which I think really distinguishes this in a very unique way. They also have some travertine, which I think is just outstanding as well.
Yeah, that's right. I noticed that. And, it's not only the products. I mean, when you listen to the presentation they gave, they're hitting all the areas. They're coming out with a regional mix based on what part of the country you're in. They're coming out with a merchandising system that they already have a gorgeous rack system, but some signage to differentiate the good, better, best, and also the new products. So they really are covering all the bases. And we can't talk about them without talking about the, you know, some of the new team members they've got. You've got Steve Ehrlich and Ken Friedman both came from Hoboken, and now they're there, and Ken's running sales, and Steve is running the marketing side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both those guys are in China right now. I was reaching out to them yesterday, and I believe they're both probably aren't going to be listening to us this morning because they're in China, but they've done an excellent job of also working with you know, their contacts out there in the marketplace, both through distributors and some of the buying groups. So I think you're going to see a lot more from Faust this year.
No question, and obviously an organization with a plan, and they're executing that plan. And one thing I think is really exciting is the number of new products, and existing products as well, I guess, that are not wood. And I think that's probably the highest percentage of non-wood looks in laminate of any laminate producer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. I'm going to change the subject when we come back. Kemp Haar is with us this morning from Floor Focus Magazine. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Kemp Haar on the line with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus Magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're talking about some of the news that has been big in this business over the last 7 days, one of which was a story from Sears. Sears back in the floor covering business, or at least testing it, in 3 stores in Cincinnati. And I think it was, 1985 that they, I don't remember what year it was, they got out of the floor covering business. But something like that.
Was it that far back?
Well,
I remember in you know, the mid '90s that that's when they finally, you know, completely shuttered it. But I don't remember.
Well, I don't remember. I don't think that is accurate now that I mention it. But it was during the '90s.
Yeah.
Now that I mention it, but they were the biggest player for just years and years, almost as far back as you can remember.
But when they consider stepping back into it, it's just going to be with some of the cash and carry products, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that that's the case. Basically, they're testing 3 stores in Cincinnati. I understand they're going to be only in the hard surface arena, and that's about the size of what we know. And I think they're going to market this in a way where it's shown in room settings, basically in bathrooms and kitchens, et cetera. But, you know, they were a powerhouse, and they've got the guns to really come back and be a powerhouse as well. They've got something like just under 1,000 full-line stores in the U.S., and they also have, of course, Kmart, which would be a good cash-and-carry opportunity there. And I don't know if we've talked about this before, but Sears Canada is the player in Canada. They've got 50 freestanding stores, and they've done exceptionally well.
Well, what's different? What do you think is different between the U.S. and Canada? Is it because there's less home centers up there that Sears is able to have such a strong flooring business?
Well, I don't know. I think probably it's a combination of things. One, I think that Sears wasn't looked at for many years as an extremely successful organization here in the U.S., where in Canada, I think it was looked just the other way around. It was looked at as a growing and a prosperous organization. I think that had a lot to do with it. And I think that they're located, of course, the population is much smaller, and they're located very close to the mass of population in the country. And I think it's just a good concept. They have good service, and they've got these, I think they call them floor covering design centers, if I'm not mistaken. And they've done exceptionally well, and they certainly have the expertise to pull that off here. And I suspect with just under 1,000 stores, They could be, these would be Sears stores, plus they have these other specialty stores that they could potentially put floor coverings in. They could be a serious player here in the U.S.
Well, that should be interesting to watch to see if they can take some of the learnings from Canada and bring it down here and put them in action.
Wouldn't be surprised. Also, another unit of the organization is their home services unit, which I understand has been a profitable segment of Sears overall. And these would be the people, as I understand, that would come out and fix your washing machine and so
right.
on. Now, again, I have no clue what their plans are, but it wouldn't be an awful big stretch to put floor coverings in that installation family. There's a lot of money in installation, and add that to the other installation and home services that they now provide. I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah, I know at one time they were a huge player in the aluminum siding business, and I don't have any recent information. I'm wondering if that's, because that's another, site-installed product where they were a player for a while.
Well, it's a hot property, and, we've talked on this program hundreds of times about the difficulty in a big corporation getting their act together in providing service like that. But Sears has been doing that for years, and I suspect if anybody has it perfected, I suspect that they do.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to watch and wait, and I'm not sure how long this test is going to go in Cincinnati, but wouldn't be a bit surprised to see down the road if they wouldn't be opening some of these stores or opening in their stores elsewhere. Let's take another break here, Kemp.
All right.
Kemp Parr is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're talking about the events of the last week in this business with Kemp Parr, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. Next on my list, Kemp, some news came from DuPont. I think it was on Monday of this week, and I think many will remember back in 2005, they received a grand jury subpoena from the district court in Washington, D.C., and they were investigating the health potential, or the potential health risks of PFOA or perfluorooctanic acid, which I'm surprised I said that.
Well, I'm impressed actually. I didn't even know you knew chemistry.
Well, that's the sum total of the chemistry that I know.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot said about it at that time. Lots of stories. And it looks like they are not going to, or the Justice Department is not going to take any action against DuPont in this. And this is, I guess I should mention, that this is an ingredient that is used or is a part of Teflon.
I was hoping you were going to enlighten us. It sounded like maybe you'd stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night and you were going to come on and surprise me even more. I mean, can you tell me, when we all know that this is part of the stain protection system, and it's not actually the Teflon itself, but it's actually part of the process of applying Teflon? Is that
well, I don't know. I did stay at a Holiday Inn, but I don't know that I know the answer totally to that question. It's my understanding that in the processing of the chemical that is used as a stain-resist product on carpet, that it's used in the processing of it.
Okay.
Now, I think now all Teflon, like, for example, the Teflon that you would see or would be applied to a frying pan is not the same Teflon
right.
that would be sprayed on a couch, say.
Oh, yarn.
So I think that it is actually a component in the Teflon that would be on a frying pan, but it's only used in the process of the chemical that's put on textiles.
Okay.
So the long and the short of this is there's not going to be any action, and there's been a whole, I won't go through the whole litany of actions that have taken place in the past. I think DuPont had paid some fines and had got involved with some environmental projects as a settlement with EPA. And I think the long and the short of this is that I think it was earlier this year, a scientific group that was working on the behalf of the EPA had issued a report saying that likely this PFOA was a carcinogenic. And I think soon thereafter, the EPA was calling on DuPont and other chemical companies to eliminate using that chemical from Teflon and other nonstick
products. Isn't that why, I think several years ago, that 3M and their Scotchgard product completely reformulated?
It was. I don't think they used PFOA. I could be mistaken on that, but I think it was along the same lines, and basically the stories were very similar.
Right. So in other words, it sounds like that there's not going to be any more issues around this. The government has looked into it, and they've dropped the charges.
Right. They will take no action, they said. I don't know if there were any charges.
Okay.
But basically it was they're not going to do anything with it. And I suspect on down the road we will see announcements that people will stop using this. Mm-hmm. That's my estimation anyway. Let's take another break here. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar. Kemp is a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Kemp Haar on the line with us this morning from Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at some of the events that have happened in this business over the last 7 days, give or take. One such announcement made, Kemp, just last week. I don't remember which day exactly. I think it was Friday. Flooring America said it's going to launch a home service, a shop-at-home service, which seems to be a hot item, I guess, especially in light of the inroads that Empire Today has been making. And I suspect baby boomers reaching retirement age. We saw the first baby boomer apply for Social Security this week.
Yeah, well, you know, Dave, I think it's several things to look into with this. We've watched for a little while as Carpet One, who's also, you know, another CCA property, has come out with a website, and when you go to that website, you can either see products at the store, or you can click a button, and they'll get back to you, and they'll come see you. So, I mean, this has been growing. I remember talking to a dealer not too long ago in Colorado, and almost 60% of their sales, this was an independent dealer and retail flooring dealer, and almost 60% of their sales were coming from them going out and actually seeing their consumers. So it's both the age thing you were mentioning a minute ago, but it's also just, you know, double income. You got people working all the time, and nobody's got any extra time to shop. But one of the dimensions to this is when they come to your house, how do you know that you're seeing, you know, the options that's what you want to, I mean, you know, that wouldn't you think that would limit the options that you would be shown, since it's, whatever the guy seems to be bringing. I'm sure they probably work through all that.
Well, I know that there's some, and I don't know the answer to that, and I think it depends on who you call into your house.
Yeah.
I understand some of the large and successful ones have a relatively small product line, especially, well, I guess if you say you're going to install it tomorrow, obviously you've got to have it in a warehouse close by. I know that there's, I think, Floor Covering International, there's also an outfit called the Carpet Network. I know Abbey also has a shop-at-home service.
Right.
And some of the ones that I've seen have vans that are pretty well stocked and could almost, maybe you don't get as big a sample as you would see in a store, but they have a pretty healthy selection. Some of the ones I've seen, I don't know if everybody is in that category. But I guess it depends on who you call, and there's some people that have honed this really down to a science, and I think doing an exceptional job. Also, you know, if you have a swatch of carpet or anything else for that matter, Certainly in your home with the lighting and the couch and the pillows and all the other colors, it's certainly the best place to make a selection, I suspect. Well,
especially if the guy who's coming to visit can come across as being someone who knows a little bit about the use of color and design.
I can see where
you know, they could persuade him to say, you know, this is what you need. So, you know, I can see several benefits for having somebody do it there at the house. You get both your decision makers there at the same time, hopefully.
Well, I suspect that we're going to see, as we go forward, a lot more players getting involved in the shop-at-home arena, and I think we're going to see that grow quite dramatically. And as you mentioned, with Carpet One, you can get on their website, you can put down what your selections are, and then elect to have somebody come out from your local store to show you the products in your home. And I guess that's the perfect way to do this.
Yeah, I think probably you should reach out to Benny Berger when it comes, you know, when he gets things more established, and see how it's doing.
Yeah, we will have to do this. And I looked for some numbers on Shop at Home and what seems to be happening in terms of growth. I couldn't find any right before the program, but I'll see if we can't scare something up on that.
All right.
Let's do one more item I wanted to bring up, and this was something that came out yesterday from the National Association of Home Builders, and their Builder Confidence Index during the month of October hit a record low, which is no surprise to anybody, I guess. And, of course, credit and the inventory of homes and falling prices, I suspect there's a whole lot of people that are just waiting for a better time to buy a house.
Right.
With the market falling. So it's no surprise, and I suspect that many of the people that I've been paying attention to feel we haven't yet hit bottom. And I guess we're going to see, you know, we're going to see a report on new home sales here before this, you know, right after this program anyway, and see what happens there. And I suspect that, I guess, the smart money is saying that that's going to be down, I think it's 4%.
So this report you're talking about is just one more voice, because I think it was yesterday Bernanke was giving a speech in Washington, and he was talking, you know, very similar type information, that it's going to take a little while to get over this hangover.
Yeah, he said that, in fact, I think he said either yesterday or the day before, that this housing slump is going to be what he called a significant drag on the economy,
right?
And it's going to take Wall Street, he said, a long time to recover from the crisis. Now, I'm not sure how long a long time is, but it's probably longer than any of us would like it to be.
Yeah, and we heard Warren Buffett was saying that he thought it would be the beginning of 08 before we saw any relief.
I think that's probably true. I always pay attention to Warren.
That's right.
I don't know about you.
He knows what he's talking about.
I guess so. If anybody does, I think he does.
Yeah.
Let's take another break here.
Right.
We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about some of the events that have occurred in the floor covering business over the past week or so. Kent Parr is with us from Floor Focus Magazine, and we're going to be right back. We are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Kemp Haar on the line this morning. He's the publisher of Floor Focus Magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're talking about some of the events that have occurred over the last 7 days in the floor covering business. And one of the events was StarNet has signed up a new member. It's out of, well, it's based in California. It's JJJ Floor Coverings, and an organization that's been around since the 60s, 1964.
JJJ's been around that long?
JJJ, yeah.
Okay.
It was founded by Jose Gutierrez in 1964, and they're in basically two states. They have several locations in California, and they also have a location in El Paso, Texas.
Well, you know, I always like to talk about StarNet. I mean, they are quite an organization. I just recently spent some time with Gene Madsen, their new president and CEO, and I mean, they're up to, they have 165 members and, well, I think 275 locations. So, you know, when it comes to installing commercial flooring, you know, they're a cooperative that quite a powerhouse. And, you know, just in talking with Gene, some of the things that they're trying to do next year is just, you know, make sure that they're supporting their membership and helping their membership to grow. And you know, I think we'll see more and more this year of these type of news stories where they're bringing on new members because they seem to have a pretty strong program put together.
Well, there's another success story. They've done a remarkable job over the last 10 years or so. Remarkable job.
Yeah, and I think they're doing some things about some re-imaging, and so you're going to start seeing kind of, I think, a new look for StarNet. And as I was saying earlier, you know, Gene has taken over the helm from Lori Dowling, and I think it's been a smooth transition, and so things are going well with StarNet.
Very good, very good. I wanted to mention one more thing before we run out of time here, especially for folks in the carpet business. Aquafil, a fiber producer, they're here in the Georgia area. They're out of Cartersville, and they said just earlier this week that they are looking into issuing an IPO.
Yes, I read that.
And this will, of course, they're an Italian company, and this would be on the Italian stock exchange. And they say they will make a decision on this before the end of the year, and they've, you know, they put up a nice, new, beautiful plant. That was earlier this year. I can't remember exactly what month that was, because we were both there for the opening. When was that?
That was sometime last summer, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't time fly?
Yeah. You know what I was thinking? I was reading that release when it came out, and, you know, people always have a little bit of a stigma about, you know, the Italian family and, you know, based on all the old gangster movies and stuff like that, but you know, I was reading this release and it talks about the name of the financial independent investment bank. It's part of the Close Brother Network. I'm sure that's somehow lost in translation, but that's the Italian company that is helping guide them through this IPO consideration. I just thought that was,
well, it'll be interesting to see. And of course, you know, I visit their website all the time. They got a lot of things going on. They've got 10 plants. They're in Italy. They're in Slovenia and Croatia.
Oh, yeah.
And in Thailand.
Yeah.
And I think probably they're looking to expand in a number of other areas. And as we mentioned, they've got this nice, beautiful plant in Georgia that's not yet a year old. Cartersville, yeah.
Yeah, and it's they do. I mean, you know, it's amazing. They do $480 million. That's, you know, U.S. equivalent. They gave it in euros, but that's U.S. $480 million in annual sales. So it's quite a big company.
It really is. It really is, and it's good to see them expanding and doing this IPO and having some growth on their mind the way they do. And on that note, unfortunately, we're out of time, Kemp. Going to have to leave it right here.
All righty. Always a pleasure, Dave.
Always a pleasure, and we will talk to you one week from the day.
Okay.
We've been talking with Kemp Hart. He's a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. And this is Floor Radio.